Good evening. It's good to see everybody. Again, welcome to Midweek Service. I hope everybody's doing well and staying warm. Michael just announced, this is the schedule again for the holiday season. And so he's already gone through it, so I'm not going to take the time again to do it. Please remember these dates because we have a lot to talk about tonight. Last week, I started talking about overcoming loss. And this is a quick overview of what we talked about last week. We defined what grief is. And again, I want to encourage you, if you missed the first lesson, I encourage you to go to our church website, nyccoc.net or bkchurch.com. You will find this lesson on there. And if you do that, what I'm going to be talking about tonight is going to make a whole lot more sense. You see, in our world today, society teaches us to hold on to things. And the truth is, society actually does a very poor job in teaching us how to deal with loss. And so that's why I'm talking about this again tonight. You know, when grief, we talked last week about when grief begins and how long it lasts. And we talked about also how grief recovery is about mending a broken heart. Again, we're talking about loss. So it could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a loss of a job. It could be loss of relationship. It could be loss of things. It could be even moving. When people move, they grieve because all of a sudden, you know, we start mourning and start grieving what we've just lost. And things that we've been used to, okay? And last week, I talked about how it's important that as Christians, that we need to grieve. The Bible talks a lot about grieving and grief. And so we need to grieve. We need to grieve, rather. And it's okay. Again, the shortest two words in the New Testament is when it says Jesus wept after Lazarus died. And it's okay to as Christians to grieve. But the Bible does say that we don't grieve like the rest of mankind, because we know that when a Christian passes and crosses over, they've gone to a much better place. And the truth be told, they will not trade places with any of us, okay? And then also, last week I talked about how there's need for us to really be there for each other during our times of sorrow, because your day is going to come, my day is going to come. Everybody's going to experience loss of some kind. And so it's very, very important that we're there for one another, that we're there carrying each other's burdens. Because if you're not there for people when they're going through their stuff, guess what? When your time comes, they will not be there for you. That's just the way life is. And so let's make sure that we are always there for each other. We're talking about overcoming grief. So this is, tonight is overcoming grief, part two. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 4, this is part of the Beatitudes, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And also in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Paul writes, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Again, the truth is, we will all experience loss several times before we leave this earth. Why is that? We live in a fallen world. Nothing on this side of eternity was created by God to be permanent. Everything that we see and feel and touch and able to experience is all temporary. And Jesus says, you know what? Blessed are those who mourn. Another translation says, happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so the question now becomes, how does God comfort us in our grief? Believe it or not, yes, God comforts us when we're grieving through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But I also believe that God uses other people to comfort us during our time of grief. Just you showing up When somebody has lost a loved one, or when somebody is grieving, it means a lot to that person. Hassan buried his father Tuesday morning, and they had a funeral for him on Monday night. And he sent me the link on Sunday morning. I met his father just once a few weeks ago when he came to church. And we spoke. And then I called him later. And I said, hi, we're going to try and set up a time. But God said it wasn't meant to be. And I don't know Hassan very well. But Monday night, I went. And I'm not just saying this so I can blow my trumpet. I went there to support him. I went there to encourage him. And I saw Jean from afar. Our sister Geraldine also sang. I saw her from afar. Our brother Sean Stanbeck, I also saw him. It's important that we're there for one another. And after the service, you know, I stopped by to say hi. And he was very thankful I came. I met his sister. And again, I paid my condolences. And then I came back home. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we're there for one another. Because one of these days, you're going to be the one grieving. And you're going to want other Christians, other disciples to come and support you. So it's important that we obey such passages that, you know what, we need to mourn with those who mourn. Our hearts need to go out to people. Because again, like I've just said, one day your day will come. And I pray that people will be there to mourn with you and to comfort you. When you and I are mourning, it's important that we let people in. Some of us are great at giving ourselves to others. A lot of us don't do very well because we don't allow others to give to us and to minister to us during our time of need. You see, in 2 Corinthians, I didn't put this in the lesson, but I've turned there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he simply says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, when you and I are receiving comfort from God, God expects us to use that same comfort to be able to pass it on and to be able to comfort others during that time, during their time of need. And so tonight, I want to talk very quickly about stages of grief. The first stage that people usually experience when they experience loss is disbelief, shock, and denial. This is what most people go through when they hear bad news. They go into shock. People have this sense of, I must be dreaming. This cannot be true. I'm in a dream. I remember very, very vividly, 29 years ago, getting that phone call. My wife and I were newlyweds, that my mother was in hospital in ICU in Lagos. I got that phone call on a Saturday night and called the travel agent. Back then, there was none of this internet stuff, and you can just book flights. Called the travel agent that night. She booked us on a flight Sunday afternoon after church. My wife and I got on a plane, and I'll never forget it. We landed in Lagos. A relative picked us up, and I said, let's go straight to the hospital. And the relative said, no, we need to go to this other relative's house first, that he's the only one who has permission to go into the ICU. I knew my mother was gone. You see, in my culture, you don't break such news to people over the telephone. And so we walked in, my uncle came in, gave me a hug, sat me down, sat next to me. I knew what was coming. And he said, Dapo, mommy's gone. And I felt like I was in a dream. I'd just spoken to her, not quite 2 weeks before that, on the telephone. And from there, we went back home to where my mother lived. And I remember walking into the house And walking into her bedroom, she had taken her jewelry off and her watch and left it on the nightstand and told her driver to take her to the hospital because she wasn't feeling well early that Saturday morning. And I felt like she was just going to walk in any minute. But I was shocked. I was denied. And I was trying to process what everything else I'd been experiencing. Because I'm asking myself, now, what is my future going to look like? I just got married. I felt numb. Sometimes, you know, for some of us, it feels like you're watching a play and you're in the middle of it. You are just in disbelief. Our brains are trying to deny our present reality that we've just walked into. But everybody experiences this. Those are the beginning stages of grief. And then the next stage that usually people go into, and sometimes all these things all go together, okay, is rage and anger. After the initial shock and disbelief, most people experience anger and rage. If your loved one perhaps died in a hospital, sometimes you're looking for somebody to blame. Perhaps the hospital staff, perhaps the nurses, perhaps the doctors. We're angry because we feel the deceased just left us alone. Sometimes, even as Christians, sometimes we're angry with God. Especially when we feel like, man, I pray for this person to be healed. How come God didn't answer me? And so we're angry with God. We're angry at the world. And if you haven't experienced this yet, you will. Where here you are, you've gotten this bad news that your loved one has crossed over and is gone. And, you know, you're indoors, you're crying, you're in disbelief. And then you realize, oh, you know what? I got to go to work. Or you step outside to go do something. And what happens? You step outside and the world, people are going on as if everything is fine. Why? Because they don't know what you're going through. And the world just goes on. And I remember having feelings of, don't these people care? Don't they realize what I'm going through? And so sometimes we're angry at the world because life goes on. Life hasn't stopped for everybody else. It may have stopped for me. It may have stopped for you. But it goes on for everybody else. And somehow we feel everyone needs to see and know our pain and know our loss. And that upsets us when people are just going about their lives. And so we go through anger and we're raging on the inside. Another stage of grief is guilt or regrets. And again, like I just said a few minutes ago, some of these stages are happening together. It's not as if, okay, you're going to go through shock and denial and then you graduate into the next. It doesn't work that way because our feelings are all over the place. And so some of these things blend together. Then we go through stages of guilt or regret. Regrets are the things you wished you had done with the deceased or said to the deceased. I wish I had told him or this and that. I wish I had told him or her how much I loved her or loved him. I wish I had gone on this trip with this person. I wish I had visited them in the hospital. Guilt is what we feel when we believe we have done something wrong. And again, we got to be very careful here. Because sometimes some of us were feeling guilt saying, okay, if I had done this, if I hadn't done this, maybe this person would still be here. You cannot do that. Like I started to share about last week when I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time and a season for everything. It is only God who determines the day when we show up on this earth, and it is only God who determines the day we are going to depart. It has got nothing to do with any of us. But sometimes we feel, oh no, if I had done this, if I hadn't done that, if I had done this, this person would still be here. No. That's just guilt that you're feeling because you think you did something wrong. There is nothing you could have done to prevent that person from crossing over. Only God has that kind of power. You and I, unfortunately, we're not God. Another stage of grief is depression. We get depressed. And again, this varies from person to person, depending on your closeness to the person that has crossed and has passed over, passed on, and depending on your general makeup. Some of us are prone to melancholy. But it varies from person to person. Sometimes, you know, all of a sudden we don't care about how we look. We're not even changing our clothes. We wouldn't even take a shower because we're just depressed. Sometimes people withdraw from family and friends and loved ones, and they lack energy. You know, it's a challenge just to even get out of bed. It's a real thing. You are in grief. You're grieving. I know for me, what helps me during these times is to always ask myself, my loved one that I'm grieving, would they want me to be down and depressed and downcast? Or would they want me to continue with life? I don't think any of our loved ones would just want us down and depressed. I don't think so. I think they will want us to carry on with life. Then the final stage of grief is acceptance. Again, this is no time period per se, and it varies from person to person. But there comes a time when you recognize that your loved one is gone and they're not coming back. And again, this is where you and I decide to move on with our lives. It doesn't mean we're ever going to forget that person. It simply means we've accepted the fact that this person is now gone and they're not coming back. And so what would they want us to be? How would they want us to live our lives? That's acceptance. Because I believe that our loved ones that we've lost would not want us to stop living because they're no longer here. If anything, they want us to continue living and live life to the full. Because that's what Jesus said in John 10. He says, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. And so I want to encourage us for us to be the things you love the most about the person who is gone. Honor your loved one by living with a purpose. With every person that passes that is close to me, I try to imitate some of their Christ-like qualities that I saw in that person or that I know of, even as I interacted with them on this earth. And so I imitate those things. Now, if the relationship wasn't good, then surely learn from that person's mistakes and become the opposite so that you don't make those same mistakes. Because yes, I am aware of the fact that, yeah, not everybody has great memories and great qualities of people they've lost. And so if you've lost such a person, instead of getting bitter, decide that, you know what? I'm not going to become like this person. If anything, I'm going to be the opposite of what this person was. And brothers and sisters, I want us to remember that only you can recover from your grief. No one can do this for you. No one. The church cannot do it for you. Your closest relationship cannot do it for you. Only you can recover from your grief. Now let's talk about, very quickly, steps that aid grief recovery. Number one, I want to encourage you to find someone or people to confide in. Someone or people that you can be totally open with about how you're feeling. If you're married, I believe that person needs to be your spouse, where we're able to carry each other's burdens. Again, I remember losing my mom. I was just stunned, and I would just be there crying. And I remember all those times when my wife would just come and sit next to me, and I would cry on her shoulders. And the next thing I know, she's opened up her Bible, and she's reading me an encouraging passage. She's reading me and Psalms, different Psalms. She was there. She was present. And that meant a lot to me. And when her father passed, I did the same thing. I was there. I was present. And so if you're listening to me tonight and you're married, let's do that for our spouses. Brother, this is not the time for you to just go on, just go be by yourself. Don't do that. You got to let your wife in. Sisters, also, let your husband in. If we're single, let people that are close to you, let them in. Make sure it's someone that will listen and help you. Because this is a time where we need to get vulnerable, where we let people close to you into your pain. You know, someone asked me, what does grief feel like? And the best way I could describe it was, it's as if I'm playing a soccer game and somebody hits a very powerful shot. And here I am, I'm a goalkeeper. And the ball, you know, goes right through my stomach. It creates a big hole and goes through my back. And I look down and I can see the hole. I said, that's how I feel. That's the only way I can describe it. But it's important that you let people in, that you can confide in. Number two, I encourage you to do a loss history timeline. What does that mean? You need to identify all the areas of your life where you have experienced some kind of loss. Whether it's moving, it could be a breakup, it could be divorce, it could be losses through the passing of loved ones, it could be job loss, it could be anything. But I want to encourage you to do a loss history timeline. Sometimes you will discover that you've gone from grief to grief. You've heard the saying, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes that's what we're going through. You know, since moving here to New York, I have to be very honest, it's been very challenging for me personally. Because not only did we move here in the middle of a pandemic and not being able to see people face to face, we had just lost Sarah's sister before we got here. And we got here, then I lost a sister in November. Come the new year, I lost another sister in January. Not quite 2 months after that, I lost a very close brother to me in the Lagos church. A few months after that, I lost another evangelist that I was very, very close to in the Lagos church. And so this year, it has been one thing after the next. It has been hard. And I've been very thankful that my wife is here, that a lot of you guys have reached out, and I'm very grateful. Many of you have reached out. And I'll never forget, one day I'm talking to Daisy. I can't really remember what was going on. And she called and said, Richard, I'm sorry. I know it's just grief upon grief. Sometimes it feels that way. And so sometimes you and I experience that. But when we do a loss history timeline, it helps us. Number three, We're talking about steps that aid grief recovery. Offer apologies and forgiveness. You've heard me say so many times that you will not change what you will not confront. The first step in changing anything is to admit it. Making apologies for anything you did or did not do. For instance, you know, man, I didn't call this person. I wanted to. Forgive yourself. Oh, I wanted to visit this person in the hospital. I never got around to it. Forgive yourself. When you forgive, you cease to feel resentment against the offender. But you say, Richard, the person is gone. I can't apologize to them. It's okay. You can write it. You can write it down. But again, it's for your benefit. But you got to let it go. Brothers and sisters, forgiveness is an action. It's not a feeling. When you forgive, when you let it go, you cease to feel resentment. That's why it's very, very important. Especially if you didn't have the greatest relationship with the deceased. It's important that you forgive them. I know some of us did not have great relationships with our parents. Forgive them. They did their best. One of the things that always helps me is to realize that my parents couldn't teach me what they didn't know. And yes, now I'm a parent. Yes, I have daughters that are now young ladies. But I know I'm not perfect. And when I mess up, I apologize to them. It's not every time I see it. But I would hate to pass on and for my daughters to continue to resent me for this or that. It shouldn't be. And so I'm saying, forgive them. Let it go. Because when you do not forgive, that continues to control you and it will grow into bitterness. And you don't want to go there. Because again, scripture teaches in so many other places, I'm not going to put any scriptures on the screen tonight, that if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. So if for nothing else, just those kind of passages scare me. You just need to let it go. Forgive them for what they didn't do or for everything they ever did to you. Let it go. Number four, express significant emotional statements. Statements like, I love you. Even to the deceased, say it out loud. Statements like, I hated you. You abandoned me. Say it. Other positive statements like, I was proud of you. I appreciate the time you spent with me. But these are significant emotional statements. It's going to help your recovery. Put some thought into it and then express it. Obviously, don't do it outside as you're walking. People are going to think you're nuts. But in the privacy of your apartment and in your room or in your bathroom, do it. Express those significant emotional statements. And then number five, write a grief completion letter. Dear so-and-so. And you put the name of the deceased there. Just write to them. I forgive you for ABCD. I want you to know ABCD. Just pour your heart out. Again, you're not sending this to anyone. It is solely for your benefit. But write that grief completion letter and then sign it. And at the end, say goodbye. It's okay. You got to let it go. They're gone, but you got to let them go. Very, very important. So write that grief completion letter. Number six, cherish the memories you have of that person, especially if they're great memories. Cherish the good memories. Like I said a few minutes ago, if things were mostly bad, then ask God to heal your heart and let go of the bitterness. But cherish the memories. Brothers and sisters, let's continue to pray for those who are bereaved. You know, when you lose a loved one and there's an outpouring of love and compassion and your phone is ringing, you know, and people are coming by to say hello, nothing can begin to describe after the person is buried and you've done the repast and everything. And the following day, you wake up to an empty house or an empty apartment, and it's just you and your thoughts. And we need to continue to reach out to people that are bereaved. We need to continue to pray for people that are bereaved. Because yes, their loved one is now buried, but they're still in grief. They're still grieving. And now they're by themselves. And that's why it's important that to keep reaching out, to keep calling people up, just to ask, how are you doing? I'm praying for you. You're in my thoughts. You're in my prayers. And then finally, it's important that we eat properly. We exercise. And we get the rest we need. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep on living. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Get this. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So you and I, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Again, I encourage you to go look at this passage again. The context is because we know Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the context. So as a result, one day too, all of us as Christians, we're also going to be raised. That death is not going to be the end of us. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. What is death? It is simply the door that every human has to go through to experience eternity with God or without God. Amen? You see, again, despite all the challenges we will go through in this life, we must remember that our afflictions are light and momentary. So we always keep our focus on the big picture, on eternity. That's what should keep us going every single day, whether we're grieving or not. And especially if that person that has passed a Christian, we know for sure that we're going to see them one of these fine days. Not on this side of eternity, but on the other side. And so we keep on going with this hope. I've put up a bunch of scriptures over here, so please take a picture of this. And remember, all those who have passed on will be judged according to what they have done. A lot of us, me included, we struggle not knowing if our loved ones made it or will make it. Brothers and sisters, I find these passages extremely comforting. They basically say, each person is going to be judged according to what they have done. We serve a God who is absolutely just. All these passages and many more. So I need to go cross-reference all this stuff. Talk about each person is going to be judged according to what they've done. What does that mean? It means my great-great-grandfather that I did not even know on this side of eternity is not going to get the same punishment as Osama bin Laden. That my great-great-grandmother that I did not know on this side of eternity is not going to get the same punishment like Adolf Hitler. These passages encourage me and should encourage you. We serve a good God. The Bible says he shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. Brothers and sisters, let us live lives and continue to be thankful for the salvation that we have. Also, the Bible commands us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. One day it will be us. And I pray that when our time comes, that we'll be ready to cross over. That despite everything we're going to go through, despite all the losses we're going to experience on this earth, we need to continue to see the goodness of God. God is a good God. Yes, our loved ones may have left this earth. For us, it's a loss. But for them, they've gained eternity. And like you've heard me say so many times, they would not want to come back here and trade places with us and to be back in this mess and to this existence. And so, despite when we're going through loss and we're experiencing grief, I want you to always remember that God is good. Again, I need you to take a picture of this. These are some useful resources. There's a great book written by a disciple called The Grief Journey by Dr. Tim Summerlin. Get a hold of it. You can get it on Amazon. Also, there's another one. I recommend this to people. It's called The Grief Recovery Handbook by John W. James and Russell Friedman. Also, you can find it on Amazon. Another resource by Sajan Sharma. It's actually a video. You can watch it on Vimeo. That's the link right there, how to support those grieving. And then there's another resource by our sister Tammy Fleming, dealing with grief and loss. That's also on YouTube. And then the last thing there is, there's actually an ICOC page that you can go to that would help you with grief and trauma and stuff like that. And so please, you know, take a look at this. And also, Daisy will be starting up the Grief Recovery Group back in the new year. And so keep an eye out for that announcement in early 2022. I'm going to play a song for us that I hope encourages us. I hope these two lessons have been helpful. Again, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. And if you want to forward it to people that are hurting, I think that's fine. I got a text from a brother from New Jersey saying, hey, I listened to your lesson last week. It was very helpful. My wife is going through this. And I said, amen. And so feel free to send it to anybody that you feel this is going to help. After the video, I would like for our brother Donald, if you can unmute yourself and close out with a word of prayer. And then after that, our brother Jimmy will put us in our breakout rooms. Let's have a great time of fellowship. God bless.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you so